Welcome to Cafe Grit. My name is Beth Ann Campbell, and I'm the author of Where the Hell Is My Bacon? A book about shitty corporate leadership and fried pork. I've worked in the corporate world now for over 20 years and have seen just about everything. I opened Cafe Grit as a place where you can join me in figuring out how to make your career life better, whether it's finding your voice at your current job, pursuing something entirely different, or working for yourself. This is a place to go when you've got the hankering for purpose, a taste for fulfillment, and you're tired of living the rat race. Thanks for stopping in. Cafe Grit is now open for service. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Cafe Grit. I'm your host, Beth Ann Campbell, and this is Season 1, Episode 11. This one time, I got in trouble. Oh yeah, today we're going to talk about getting in trouble at work. Ooh. And just to be clear, I'm not talking about today, at least, about I don't know if I ever will, about serious violations like embezzlement or harassment, you get into porn at work, whatever. If you've been convicted of a felony for something that you did at work, I'm not really talking to you today. I mean, hey, you know what? Rehab, you're welcome to be here. You know, you have as much right to be here as anyone else, but that's not what I'm talking about today. I'm talking about getting in trouble for things that maybe you're not really sure why you got in trouble for them, or maybe even if you should have gotten in trouble for them, maybe you had an asshat of a boss. So that's what we're going to talk about today. So this one time at my last job, I got in trouble with our compliance and ethics department. No, Beth Ann Campbell, not you. Yes, you pushed the envelope and, you know, there was that bacon thing that you wrote about, but trouble with a capital T? No, I don't believe it. Yes, yes, indeed. I got in trouble. You'll find that it's kind of trouble in quotes, but I did get pulled into a compliance and ethics investigation. For anybody who's interested, I did write an article about it. It's out there on LinkedIn. And this event did involve some physical evidence, some graphical evidence, which obviously I can't show you here on the podcast. So check it out. I'll try to get some more slides up there. I think I've got a few of them up in the article, but there are a few more examples of what I got in trouble for that I can put up that are pretty, I think they're pretty funny. So one morning I came into work and I found myself in my boss's office, which wasn't unusual. Probably 3 days a week, I would come in and have a note that said, hey, stop by when you get a chance. We just had a lot of stuff that we talked about and we both were early. So I went into his office and he says, hey, you remember that compliance guy that was up here a couple of weeks ago? And I vaguely did remember the compliance guy. I never met him, never saw him, but my boss had told me that he was up here. It was an unrelated incident, very minor little thing that, you know, this is what compliance do. You know, they have to jump on every little thing. And it was just a minor thing that we had ended up handling fine. So they just, you know, wrote it off and boom, it was done. But he did tell me about it. So he says, yeah, well, he was walking around and he found your slides, your printouts on your cubicle, and they want to start an investigation. He wants to talk to you this afternoon and do an interview. So, of course, being the strong, powerful person that I am, I started to cry and I immediately left his office. I didn't want my boss to see me crying. I packed up my shit and went home. So here's the backstory. At the time, I was managing a team of about 7 or 8 people, and they were just in utter chaos. I've talked about this quite at length, of the situation at my job. Wonderful people, just a great company to work for, but there was just too much shit going on in the technology department. So they were working projects, and they had been on these multi-year back-to-back projects for, you know, 5 or 6 years now. Everything was a priority. They were handling support of these big, complex, critical systems, but also doing projects. And, you know, nobody knew what they were supposed to do next. And it was just burnout, burnout, burnout. Stress was high. Morale was low. I had half of my team either actively looking for opportunities, or 2 of them had actually gone on interviews. And I took that as no reflection on me. I mean, they were very honest with me when this was all happening. So one thing you have to know about me in the context of being a manager for 12 years. I'm really less of a manager or a supervisor, and I'm kind of like a work aunt or aunt, I guess, if depending on where you're from. I'm from the Midwest U.S. and we say aunt, so I'm sorry if it sounds like a bug, but that's what we call ourselves. I'm Aunt Beth to all of my nieces and nephews. Anyway, so I'm kind of like a work aunt, and I'm there to serve my team. I help them out. I get them what they need. Sometimes there's a little tough love there. So anyway, I had a really good relationship with the team, and I don't like low morale. I'm kind of like a mother hen in that way. So I wanted to do something to boost their spirits because they were and are an amazing team. They're just badass and super smart and dedicated. They take ownership, and I wanted them to not feel horrible. So we started off with just this kind of little jokey, let's find a fun name for our team. And this was not an original concept. There was another team in our department, and they called themselves R2-D2. I don't remember what the R's stood for, or the D's, but it was something with two R's and then delivery and development or something like that. So there was a history of coming up with kind of clever names, and you can do fun things when you have presentations and stuff. So the entire team almost provided input, and I finally settled on, somebody had a really good option. It was called Giante. I don't remember what it stood for, but we finally settled on the League of Extraordinary GIS and OMS Specialists, or LEGOs. So GIS is Geospatial Information Systems, OMS is Outage Management System. So it was acronymed LEGOs. So I thought that's perfect because Legos are cute and fun, and we can do, fun stuff with that. And, it's all internal. It's nothing that's going public. We're not making money off of Legos. So now that I had a team name and a theme, at the time there was this app that you could caricature yourself as a Lego person. So I mocked up my entire team, including myself and including a consultant who later became my boss, not currently my boss, but I worked for him for a few years. So I mocked all of us up into Lego cartoons, and I wanted everybody to feel powerful but there's always a little bit of humor in there too, right? We can't take ourselves too seriously. And this was kind of a team building, or at least it was in my head. So each of these mock-ups, these cartoon caricatures, had a cup, like a coffee or a teacup. They had a medieval weapon, like a long sword or a spear, and they kind of had a scowly expression. You could modify the expressions. And then I would make them with some characteristics specific to that person. So if somebody had blonde hair, they would have blonde hair. One of my team members had a dog, and they had a little dog accessory that you could add. So stuff like that. So, I just wanted them to feel powerful. And so then I added captions for each of these slides, and they were a little badass, So for example, mine said, Beth Campbell, AKA Beulah, cause that's my inner badass personality. Beth Campbell, AKA Beulah, AKA team lead. She will crush your head with two fingers. She is your number one priority and will rip your heart out with a spoon, butt slugs. And butt is with an asterisk. But that's exactly how you say it. You don't say Beth Campbell, AKA Beth Campbell, AKA Beulah. She will rip your heart out with a spoon, butt slugs. And I thought they were hilarious. And so did the team. And we had a lot of fun just, empowering ourselves with these stupid little Lego cartoons. I even sent them to a few of the other managers. One or two of them were above me on the corporate food chain. They loved them. They gave me some great feedback. So then I printed them out on my own printer. Thank you. All of the stuff was done on my home computer and my own printer. And we, so I put them up outside my cubicle on the outside wall. So this was against a window, but it was a fairly heavily trafficked area, this aisle. And there were, my boss, my boss's boss, many people traveled along. And over the months, they were up there for 9 months. A lot of people stopped by and was like, oh my God, these are so great. This is what a great idea, team building, employee engagement. I got a lot of only good feedback from them. And I'll be truthful, I was pretty proud of them. I thought, you know, it was just kind of a little internal team thing. And I think a lot of people on the team, if I may say so, were probably thought they were pretty cool too. So then one day, this compliance guy, 9 months later, he finds these thing, and my boss pulls me in. Hey, remember the compliance guy? And well, so as I said, I started crying. I was pretty devastated. I went home because, listen, there's nothing more frustrating and confusing than when you do something nice for the right reason to make somebody feel better, and then you get in trouble for it. So I'm going to make a long story short, because I detail this a bit in the article, but I think the investigator was actually excited about this. Like, I got you. I got you. Just his demeanor. And it was a little off-putting. Off-putting is not even the right word. It was, I don't know, I can't even describe it. It was just how he just was so intense about this. And I just thought, this is a conversation, but you know, he was just like, I got you. So we had a video call because I wasn't coming into work. I was upset and I was at home. So I lied. I said I was sick. So we had this video, one-way video call, and he's on there and he holds up one of the slides and he said, you know, do you know what these are and how did these get on your cubicle? And I think he was expecting me to lie or, you know, make up some excuse. I'm sure that's probably what he was accustomed to in some cases, but I just confessed. I said, no, it was me. It was a team building exercise. I was just trying to boost my team's morale. And he was like, how, as a manager, did you not find this offensive? And he was very, like I said, he was very intense. So I was like, tell me what you're referring to. Are you referring to the cartoon people? Are you referring to the medieval weapons? Are you referring to the coffee cups? Are you referring to the asterisked swear words? And he's like, all of it. I mean, he was just really just like, I thought he's just ready for a fight. But I said, you know, first of all, folks, offensive is subjective, but that's why a lot of compliance and ethics policies are very vague. But in any case, it was complete deflation. By the end, he thanked me for my honesty. The HR guy thanked me for honesty. He was on the call. And I did get punished, but I will be honest, it was barely a slap on the wrist and it was expunged from my record after 6 months. So here was the hard part, is if that wasn't hard enough. And I know it's just so lame. And you're like, Beth, you're such a baby. Why did you cry? I don't know. I don't get in trouble. That's why I'm telling you people, I push the envelope and I talk about stuff, but I don't violate stuff. I don't violate policy. But this whole time, so I had this interview and then it was probably another month before I got my punishment handed down. And then I had to complete the punishment. And then I had to 6 months later, I had to do an exit interview and then it would be expunged. That whole time, I never talked to the compliance guy again. I had a meeting with HR one time. He barely said anything. And it was never really explained to me, you know, why this investigation, why it was so intense and why this was so serious. Because the compliance guy called it a couple times a very serious investigation. He said, I'm going to have a lot of people to interview and a lot of people to talk to. Apparently he was, like I said, he was getting ready for a big fight. So, by this time it was 8 months later and I was in my exit interview with the compliance director and I was still kind of confused about the thing. And clearly it still was weighing heavily on me. And I started crying in this call, which I hate doing at work. I am an ugly crier and I hate when I cry at work, which is not often, but I hate it. So, but I couldn't do anything. I was stuck in the room with her and she was wonderful. She actually finally explained to me what the issue was here, why they had to do this investigation. So it was because I was a supervisor and it was to prevent liability for me, she said. But more importantly, and let's not kid ourselves, this is the real reason, the company. So let's just say one of my team members later on, I had to put them on a performance improvement plan, a PIP. They might come back and say, oh, I felt harassed and I could get in trouble. The company could get in trouble. And it kind of made sense at the time, but I'm not sure why it took so long to explain that to me. So it was expunged and, you know, that was it. It is what it is. It was just one of those little things. And I've had other little incidents that I will talk about at another time, because I do want to get to some of your comments about getting in trouble at work. I'm a big licker. That just didn't come out right. I'm a big LinkedIn person. So I do often put some posts out just to get some feedback from folks. And I did put a post out about getting in trouble from work. So I'm going to read some of the comments from you, from my very wise social media tribe. Really, there's so many awesome people. Go look at my posts in the comments. They're just amazing. There's true engagement. I'm kind of tangent off here on a little LinkedIn thing, but it's just it's so different than it was, and it's just an amazing place. I really love it. All right, so this first comment is from Autumn, and she says, in my 20s, I was sent home from work for kicking a trash can and walking out of a town hall. I stand by my actions. Good for you, Autumn. The meeting was about, quote, improving morale. I asked if we could have ergonomic keyboards, 10-hour days at a call center, because I had shoulder and neck pain. The VP of douche broness told me I was too young to know what real pain was. I am going to borrow that. The VP of douche broness. Thank you, Autumn, for standing up to the VP of douche broness and virtual fist pump for that. Second, what a dick. You know, there are not many things worse than a pretentious power monger who can't be bothered to give a solid explanation about, you know, anything that they do. And authoritarian managers are the worst. Fucking dictators. I hope you didn't stay long at that job, Autumn. That's all I'm saying. So Indra says, oh, this is great. I got in trouble for being the compliance department, and refusing to cover something up. I was told it wasn't cool to side with the customer about a high-risk vulnerability that someone lied about and made the team look bad. How bad does your compliance department have to be when they want you to be non-compliant? How is it when you want your compliance department to be non-compliant, to lie about something to save face? But you know what? I'm here to tell you, shit like that happens. The lies happen. They will begin. And this is why companies get in so much trouble, at least with the public, when they do fuck up, because they lie and they try to cover it up instead of just saying, hey, we messed up, and which is never easy. But taking the low road, always a bad idea. And lying, oh no, that's always going to come back to haunt you. This next comment is from Amy. Amy says, no big trouble, but I gave a presentation once using some humor. Oh my God, Amy, no, not humor. She says, I swear it was clean, which I couldn't say the same, but Amy can. I swear it was clean, but then was told it was unprofessional and not leader-like. At another job, I was told that it's too friendly with the employees at a lower, quote, rank. Oh God, no, they used the R word. And was basically told to not say certain things to certain leaders, basically all but guarding my words, even if I didn't agree. Whew. First of all, humor makes people listen to what you're saying. This comes from my good friend Jake Gray, when he is on point. People remember stuff when you use humor because it makes it interesting. And how many of us have been subjected to these god-awful, boring, dry speeches and presentations, and all we want to do is just take a nap or get the fuck out of there? And great leaders, a lot of them do use humor more and more in the current times. Jesus Christ, I'm talking like we're talking about. This is something that probably took place a couple years ago. All right, cup of coffee, drink. All right, second of all, I do want to talk a little bit about this. Let's not get too friendly with the employees at the lower rank. The word rank, she put in quotes, so presumably that's the word that the person that she's talking about actually used with Amy, which gives the connotation of this I'm higher than you mentality, which is that authoritarian dictator managers again, which I absolutely hate. So when I got in trouble for the Lego slides, I heard the same thing. So one of the things that I did for my quote punishment was I had to write a letter detailing what I did wrong, who it impacted, and what was my plan for improvement. And one of the things that I put in this letter was in the who I impacted section was my team, because I thought that they were impacted. So I had to present this letter to an upper manager and to HR. This is when I said that I had a second meeting with HR. He didn't really say anything. And I riddled this letter with self-deprecation and sarcasm. And I thought for sure this upper manager would mention it. But he thought it was great. The only thing he said about the letter was that he was surprised that my team even knew about this incident, that he would have kept it private. Well, so first of all, the compliance investigator, this intense dude, told me several times, this is a very serious investigation, and that he had like a lot of people to talk to, which I assumed was my team. Who else would he talk to? There were 7 or 8 people mocked up in these slides. And I wasn't going to let him get blindsided, with this guy coming in who was clearly excited about getting somebody in trouble. At least that was my perception. So of course I told them. I told you I'm an aunt. I warned them. So I also had some of my team members as Facebook friends. And when this happened, my husband, who just, loves it, he's more of the type of person that, might get in trouble more often. So he was just thrilled that I finally got in trouble. So he kind of put this jokey Facebook post, just this humorous little blurb. It was more to make me laugh than anything else. It was like, oh, my wife finally got in trouble. Ha ha ha. And a lot of my team saw it. So it's not like I could hide it anyway. And I had a lot of these team members as friends before I became their boss. So, we're kind of a tight group. We've been working together for 15 years. And having these people as my social media connections did not go over well with the manager. I mean, he so much as said he would never have his team members on social media. I don't know that he probably even uses social media much, but he's a great guy. I'm not going to come down on him. It just, that, you know what? To each their own. And I'm, like I said, I'm more of an aunt. I'm not really somebody, I'm a timesheet approver, and I'm a, I do one-on-ones, but I'm here for like, what do you need from me? What can I do to make your job better? I'm not here for, okay, I'm the authority. I think that's just kind of bullshit. And by the way, I don't tell my team everything. There are things that you don't tell. It's not like I'm going around spreading salary information or stuff that's confidential. If it's confidential, it's confidential, but this was something that wasn't confidential and I thought that they would be involved in it. So I did mention it to them. All right. This next comment comes from Allison. She said, oh, that brought back a memory, being marched into one of my storerooms and berated by my head teacher. So professional. So I asked Allison, what happened? She said I committed the cardinal sin of discussing a school situation in the supermarket queue. Cannot for the life of me remember which situation. We had many. I would not have mentioned names or been improper, but the recipient was a friend of the head. And so apparently she got somebody narked on her. So this kind of falls into the category above, like, God forbid that you talk about something in a public place with a total stranger who, nobody around you would have any clue what you're talking about, and nor could they give less of a shit. People in the queue, they're just thinking about what candy bar are they going to try to slip in with all that broccoli and kale and hope that nobody notices. I know this is what 75% of the people are thinking about. So thank you, my wonderful LinkedIn tribe, for these comments. I appreciate it. Anybody out there who's in a position to, quote, get somebody in trouble, all I'm gonna ask is, if it's not a felony and it falls into one of those, it's not really a crime under any circumstance, then if it's possible, just try communicating. I get it. Sometimes you have to say something. There's a wrong way to say something that needs to be said. Don't do that. Don't be a dick. And if you relish punishing somebody for such a mild infraction, I hope you burn in hell, and I hope you have a total asshat of a demon for a boss there. All right, I think that's it, grit offenders. Enough of this getting in trouble talk. Thank you again for listening, and thank you again to my social media peeps for weighing in on their getting in trouble at work. I have other stories about this too, so maybe we'll bring them up. We'll do a little flashback episode. Remember, you can find me on LinkedIn as Beth Ann Campbell, or you can follow #CafeGrit. I'm also on Instagram as @thebean67. I hope you're having an awesome week with no getting put in the hot seat. Thanks again for joining, and we'll talk to you soon. Take it easy. Hey, everybody. Thanks for stopping by Cafe Grit, where the moxie is fresh, the passion cold brewed, and everything is served with a heaping side of mojo. If you like what's on the menu, please check out the Cafe Grit group on Facebook, where I'd love to hear your feedback and continue these conversations. You can also find me on LinkedIn as Beth Ann Campbell, that's Ann with an E, or by following #CafeGrit. And I will be forever beholden if you would give me a quick review on iTunes to make the Apple gods happy. In return, I will wish upon you copious amounts of bacon, your favorite hot beverage, and of course, pie. The music for this podcast is called Lounge Cafe, and it's by Dmitry Balyev. You can find more great tunes by Dmitry and others at audiojungle.net. Check it out. Thanks again for stopping by, and remember, you don't have to deal with the bullshit, and there is something better out there. Let's figure it out together. Take it easy.